Sports Interview.
And tonight on the Drive to Draw podcast, Barry Lester is joining us for our players interview. Welcome, Barry.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
Not a problem. Well, Barry, World Outdoor Champion in 2016 Christchurch, silver medal in Christchurch as well in the fours. The triples was obviously the first one. Commonwealth Games, bronze medal 2006 in Melbourne in the pairs. What do we got? Silver in the 2018 triples. Also 2018 in the fours. And then Birmingham, which is probably the most recent Commonwealth Games. Silver in the triples there. And a couple of gold medals in the 2019 triples and fours in the Asia-Pacific Bowls Championships. And I reckon there's a singles gold somewhere in there as well, but we'll get to that in a minute, mate. Welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us.
You've done your homework. Yeah, thanks very much for the intro. And anytime I can talk to anyone such as yourselves about the game of bowls and talk about all things the game, I just, I'm very excited for the opportunity. So thank you.
Absolutely.
I got on your page this afternoon and watched a few of your coaching tips, Barry. I've got my single coming up, so I thought I'd better get on and have a look. So I watched a few of those this afternoon, so it was good. Getting sweaty palms talking to you, though.
it's a pleasure.
We'll have to report back to you and see how Phil goes. Yeah. I think they're trying to organise it as we speak.
Yeah,
so.
We are. So, good luck. Yeah. Now, I looked up, 42 years old. When did you start bowls, Barry? What age?
My first season, I was 14 in a little town called Wedderburn, an hour out of Bendigo. You're growing up in a little town like that, one milk bar, one pub, one bowls club, one tiny little school, 700 people. There wasn't sort of much else to do other than play sport. And I was a competitive beast as a kid to the point where, I probably threw people the other way when it comes to me. But just competitive. And when I got the opportunity to play my first game of bowls at 14, my old man said, come down and have a game. And I did.
What other sports were you involved with back then as a young lad? I'm assuming Aussie rules would have been on the cards.
Yeah, like every other kid at that age, wanted to play AFL. Broke a few bones playing footies, which didn't help that dream. But I did reach state level under 16 football. Probably my claim to fame there was played with the Witcher-proof boy up the road, Corey Jones. Played in the sort of state carnivals down in Melbourne, Windy Hill and so on. So played in some decent school and state level football. Love footy, love my golf. Played all sports, but... very, very competitive. But I knew as a kid watching sport on TV that my ultimate goal would be wearing the coat of arms, and that was definitely a dream of mine in whatever sport I chose to attack.
Absolutely.
Did you play in your old man's team when he said, "Hey, come try bowls out instead of running around a footy field"? Did you end up playing in his team or his rink, or how did that all come about?
Yes, we did. Played a bit of pennant together. Unfortunately, my first season was B grade where Dad played because he was always trying to get into the A grade. It was always a scary night in the household when the teams came out for pennant. Back then it wasn't Facebook, text messaging, websites. Back in the mid-90s, it was you went down to your local bolo and you checked the notice board. And if it didn't read well on the notice board, it was a scary trip home. It was either reach for the beer in the fridge and knock a few down and get angry, or as mum went to bed early that night when he didn't get picked.
Love it.
But yeah, we played a bit together, played club champs together, won club triples, club pairs. But my dad was unreal. Like any time I was training, competing in any of the events, he was just all about just providing as much guidance and information as he could.
Yep. And highest world ranking I see was 26. That's pretty current, isn't it? It's 2024. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's been a really good initiative World Bowls brought out recently, the World Bowls rankings. I guess throughout various things I've achieved over my journey, if the current system was in place years ago, I might have featured higher somewhere at different stages. But, when you're talking, you can somehow slide into the top 30 in the world. And especially since I've been retired for a year now off the back of some decent performances last year, Australian Open Fours, BPL, all that kind of stuff. So Rankings is, I think, something that's crept back into the game, and hopefully, it's onwards and upwards when it comes to the world ranking system.
Yeah, myself, I'm just outside the 30 at the moment.
Oh, but... mate, you're doing well. Is that well outside the 30?
Yeah. Million.
Now, talking about rankings, obviously, back playing with your old man there, when did you sort of leapfrog him and then move on to sort of bigger and better things and then, I suppose, realise that bowls is the path you were going to take?
So at age 16, I won my first club singles, and that was pretty cool. I often say if I hadn't won that club singles at 16, my second season, I probably would have walked away from the game. I would have went, all right, that was a good little experience. But Dad said, that's probably a sign that you can go onwards and upwards. And then within 2 years, I was playing the state under 18 side. We did a big move from one side of the state to the other, moved to Lakes Entrance, and that was pretty scary for me. You leave all your mates behind, your schoolmates and all that, but once I got down to Lakes Entrance, great club. They definitely shaped the future of my bowling career. They gave me employment. They helped sponsor me, set me up with equipment. And then the great legend himself, John Snell, OAM, moved to Lakes Entrance of all the places he could have moved to in Australia. He's written books, played at the highest level. He decided to move to Lakes Entrance and become my mentor, and I was just a sponge for information under John, and that was when I was sort of 18, 19 years of age. So, playing state level. I remember my first plane trip was through playing bowls, so that was pretty cool. I'm like, wow, my first flight at 17, 18 was cool, wearing all the uniforms. I'm like, all my footy mates are just staying back in town playing footy, and here I'm on planes flying around Australia representing Victoria. So I wanted more of that. I was really hungry to do that more, and obviously my main hunger was to try and climb the ladder to go higher with the representative duties.
So we'll move on from there, obviously, trying to establish yourself, obviously, at Lakes Entrance there. I'm assuming a couple of pennants maybe along the way.
Yeah, won a pennant. I didn't win one with my dad, but I won the club pairs with my dad there. Had a few cracks at sort of winning a couple of titles with my brother as well, my brother Tommy at the time. But, won the pennant for Lakes, became the youngest player for Lakes Entrance and sort of Gippsland to make the state side. I think I made the state Victorian state side at 20 years of age. It was really hard because being in country Victoria, 3.5-4 hours from the city, you can only win what's in front of you. And I did win a lot, but I trained my absolute backside off. I was training 4 to 6 hours a day and working full time at the club. But the club gave me a lot of time off for work and sponsored me. So Lakes Entrance Bowls Club, forever indebted for what they did for me. But John Snell had a board meeting with them and said, hey, this young kid's going to go places. You've got to get behind him. Yep. And I'll never forget the current GM, Jeff Rode, and the board at the time. They pulled me into a room and said, yeah, Barry, we want to really support you and set you up. I just remember going out there and training my backside off. I'd get a train from Bairnsdale to Melbourne and then a bus from Melbourne to Moama for state trials. And then when I was old enough to drive, then I'd get I'd drive from Lakes Entrance to Moama or drive from Lakes Entrance to Melbourne for trials and training and so on. And unfortunately, at 21, suddenly my mum passed away. Really suddenly and sort of threw everything out a little bit. She got to see me play for Victoria, but she didn't get to see me play for Australia. But that was a big sort of side step or step back in my life, gave bowls away for a bit. But the whole Lakes Entrance, John Snell, the employment sort of set up was a huge nucleus for me to be able to get to where I am today.
Isn't it important to have those people that sort of stand behind you and back you in and say, hey, we're going to help you get to whatever level you want to get to. And I think bowls clubs are getting better and better at that. Footy clubs are now seeing that as an advantage, that everybody does have a slightly different background, whether it be from country, city, different areas, trying to get everybody together. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened for you, mate. And then, again, condolences, obviously, for the loss of your mother there, but it probably in a way shaped you a little bit in that you got to take a bit of a step back and concentrate on family for a little while. I'm assuming that's the process that you took.
Yeah, mum was the one that, she prepped all your gear, she made you lunch, she drove you everywhere, and Dad was the mentor when it came to the game, but Mum was always the one that made sure I was on time and set up and preparing really well. And yeah, I miss those days of waking up and seeing your bowls clothes folded on the end of your bed, and you know,
lunch is made.
Lunch is made, but Mum was amazing for me for that. I was the youngest in the family, so I was the last one she didn't want to leave the house. And so that was obviously hard times, but gave the game away for a while. Spent time with family and friends. Lakes Entrance, once again, were great. And then just out of the blue, a gentleman I knew who I'd sort of played against in Metro Bowls, he was just passing through Lakes Entrance and said, "Barry, what are you doing here?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm just working, living my life." And he said, "You should be playing in Melbourne. You should be playing in the Premier League and all that." And within a few weeks, he'd got me a job interview. And his name was Wayne Sheehan, Wayne Tubby Sheehan. And same thing, you know, people shape your life. People can have influences. And just a small gesture for him to get me a job interview in Melbourne. And within a few months later, I was working in Melbourne and playing Premier League. So that was the start of my move to Melbourne and start that journey.
Absolutely loving this, mate. This is why we put together the players' interviews, to find out these little stories of, you know, who mentored, who helped. Nathan Black, obviously, we had on previously, talked about, you know, how he, you know, played in the country, and then a couple of players from the city sort of said, "Hey, can you come down and play?" So similar little journeys there, and obviously, and we're going to follow this up a little bit later with BPL, but obviously you got to see Blackie firsthand last week at the BPL.
Yeah, sure did, and I've been a big fan of Nathan for quite a few years. I got him his first Aero contract. I set him up there a while back. Sort of early chats was Aero. We're like, we're not sure about Nathan just yet, and I'm like, this kid's going to be a star, and made sure I got him all his gear and his shoes and bags and stuff, and been great watching him develop the last sort of 5 or 6 years from a junior. And to sort of just tackle the event, you know, I can only really think of one other person that's been able to do that the last few years since Kylie Whitehead. Her first event, she came in, made the all-star team, just dominated the event, and just was arguably the best lead for the whole BPL. So to see someone like Blackie do that back end as well, and in the company of Steve Glass and his coach, Karen Murphy, and just amazing. So he really did embrace the environment, which is so important with the BPL. You can't shy away from the crowd and the TV and that. You got to really embrace it, and he did that to the best of his ability, and really looking forward to what he can do moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll be an Australian call-up, I'd say, not too far down the track.
Yeah, that's right. And it's going to be completely up to him. Nothing will be handed to him. Nothing will be for free. It'll be all hard work, sweat and tears. And he's with time management, good people around him, and the right planning, being in the Jackaroos environment, he's in a great place. So hopefully the sort of the international bowls calendar gets bigger again. It's been pretty quiet for a while. And obviously with bowls getting back on the Comm Games program is going to be great. So hopefully there's some big honours for him moving forward.
It's probably looking down the track, he'll probably move into state. Do you reckon that'll probably come a time?
If that has to be, yeah. I must admit, I thought I'd never leave Lakes Entrance, you know, but yep. It's someone provided me opportunity, and if someone gets around Nathan. But there's one thing I will say there, in bowls, where it's South Australia, WA, Tassie, there is lots of opportunities, and there are great employment opportunities, you know, big brands, big sponsors, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of well-to-do people in the sport. If Nathan wants to stay in South Australia, I'm sure he can make it happen. Yep. Just like the Andrew Smiths did, the Wayne Rudigers did, and so on. So hopefully he can do that. But it's going to take a community effort, Bowl South Australia to rally around him. It's going to take businesses, bowls clubs, the whole community say, "Hey, Nathan, let's get around you," like Lakes Entrance did to me, and like Karen Murphy's has with BCIB and so on. So I'm sure there's maybe a big brand over in South Australia that could say, "Listen, Nathan, we want you to work with us. We'll support your bowling career. You're already making big inroads." So, and then you've got the pathway programs and all that. So I think it comes down to what Nathan wants, and if he wants to stay at home, I believe it can really happen. It just means that it's probably going to be a team of people that want to help him and to sort of achieve that.
We don't want to talk about Blackie all night because we could be here all night, but we're going to get back to you, mate. But it sort of does lead us to where we were saying is that, you know, you left Lakes Entrance. You clearly remember your first pennant premiership, obviously, there. Then you moved to the city. You said you played Premier League. Who did you play for there, and did you get a pennant there somewhere? I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I had one season at Burden Park, part of sort of the employment role, and then got another job working for a company, which they were great, Russell and Peter Lawton, and they were said, Barry, look, wherever you feel you need to go with your bowls, you know, we'll support you. So I ended up playing at Melbourne Bowling Club, the oldest bowls club in Australia, and I got to really play with my good mates too. I think of Brendan McCallum, Russell Green, Johnny McCarron, those kind of guys, Brett Layton, and I could play with some of the best players, against the best players, be it a really old school traditional club where you walk in sort of the four walls of the club and you appreciate the history and what it was about. So I got to do that. But a sort of little background, I guess, support base I had was the Victorian Institute of Sport. I was a scholarship holder there, so gym access, doctors, sports psychs. I had a lot of access to great resources there at the Victorian Institute of Sport. Unfortunately, that's not sort of a national thing. It's not something that's consistent across all states and territories, but Lawn Bowls has been a program under the Victorian Institute of Sport banner for quite a while, and without that scholarship, I wouldn't have had access to that, because I've always considered myself as an athlete that plays bowls. I've never been a bowler that's fit and healthy. I've always been and wanted to be an athlete, and Victorian Institute of Sport really helped me think like an athlete, train like an athlete, and go out and get the best of out of myself. So that was a big support network. And, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, playing at Melbourne, winning a few big titles, yeah, who would have thought? Pretty much to this day, arguably my biggest achievement would be nearly, getting that first cap for Australia and playing Comm games, especially after a couple of years after Mum had passed away.
That was going to be my question. What was your greatest moment? So you've covered that one.
Well, I think there's another greatest moment coming up that Barry's going to talk about in a minute. But you then obviously are part of the Jackaroo squad. Who was in that squad as, you know, you're the young fella coming in? Who were some of the older, more established statesmen at the time?
Yeah, it was sort of a bit surreal. You know, you get picked for your first Australian squad and you go to a camp, and one of the first things I remember that camp was Kelsey Cottrell being 14 years of age. You know, I remember her first training drills was with me, and I'm looking around, there's Kevin Walsh. Absolutely love Kevin Walsh as a player. You had Billy Cornells, Michael Wilkes, Steve Glasson, Brett Dupre, Kelvin Kirko, you know, all the big names around that sort of 2004, 2005, Nathan Rice, Mark Casey, Wayne Turley, Shane Globet. So, and then the women's team, you know, obviously Karen Murphy back then, Willow Fong, Roma Dunn, so Lindsay Clark, and you're just sort of looking around left and right going, wow, big names everywhere. But from an early day sort of experience, I remember having this trial against, I think it was Nathan Rice and I playing against Mark Casey and Wayne Turley. And Wayne Turley was ripping shreds through me in terms of just up and down the green, high-fiving, you know, celebrating shots. And I sort of turned to Turles and I sort of turned to the Australian selectors and coaches and went, wow, Turles is pretty full on today. And I'll just never forget Turles sort of saying, mate, you know, I want to play for Australia. I want to get selected. I want this as much as the next person, and I'm here to bring it. So, and I just remember that from then on, you know, I've always brought it since, whether it's been up and about at a BPL, whether it's been up and about in a pennant match or whatever it is. You know, if you want something so bad, you got to know who you are and you got to bring it. And I'll never forget Turles sort of handing on that sort of those words of wisdom. And that was my first camp experience going, well, I'm messing with the big boys here. And yeah, you're not down in Sunny Lakes Entrance anymore. You got to bring it. So I thought, well, okay, I will. And lucky to get some success early days. But forever indebted once again to be surrounded by those people. And I was a sponge for information, whatever they could provide me with my journey.
Mate, I'm always pleased to watch you play. You always put a bit of flair in. You either got the earring in or the peroxide blonde hair, or you had the ponytail, and you had the pink band or the red band, and you know, you've had sort of everything. You're good to watch, and you know, you make it a bit more, you know, out there, you know. But yeah, so I always enjoy watching you on the bit, whether it's BPL or on Australia or whoever you're playing for, you know, it's always good.
Thank you. And I've never tried to be anyone else, and those that know me and know me well know that. Those that judge from afar don't know that, and that's fine. But yeah, I've just been a boy that grew up in the country. I've worn pretty much my heart on my sleeve with everything I've done, and I haven't tried to outdo anyone else. So I haven't tried to win more titles or anything like that. I've just tried to get the best out of myself and be myself. So if it means wearing a stud, which I've done pretty much since I was 14 in my ear, I've got a few tattoos, but I know that anyone that sort of looks over and sees me as a teammate, they know I've got their back for them. So.
Yeah, no, it's a credit to you, mate. You've been an absolutely outstanding ambassador to the bowls community.
Going to cover that a little bit later as well, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk Commonwealth Games. Obviously, you have played in a few and been obviously in the Gold Coast and Melbourne, obviously, as the main ones here in Australia. Do you want to take us through a little bit of a moment there where you got a pretty special honour at the end? It was at the end of the Commonwealth Games?
Yes, yeah. So end of Birmingham Commonwealth Games. So, yeah, it'd been a while between drinks. I'd played 2006, 2018, and that was a big achievement for me to be able to play two Comm games, four Comm games apart, if that makes sense, missing the 10 and 14 games. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty cool. And then to get picked for the Birmingham games through COVID and that, I've always really considered myself a pretty slow green specialist. I've worked really hard on my slow green play. And yeah, to get the call up for Birmingham was pretty cool and got some really cool stories around Birmingham and that. But in terms of what you're asking there, Pete, is yeah, my dad was sick at the time. He was sort of probably a month to month sort of set up, my old man at the time. And I got a phone call from Craig Phillips, the CEO of Commonwealth Games Australia, at the end of the Comm Games in Birmingham, and I really did fear the worst. I thought my old man maybe had passed away, and it was a happy phone call. It was a great phone call that they just left a meeting and they were deciding on someone to collect the Commonwealth Games Federation flag, take it off the Birmingham government, I guess, or would have been the, you know, governor or so on, and give it to the Victorian governor for the Victorian Commonwealth Games, which didn't end up going ahead, of course. And I got the phone call saying, Barry, as a regional athlete born in Bendigo and growing up in Lake Central, sort of tick all the boxes and you've been to three Comm games. So we'd love you to have that honour. And yeah, broke down crying. I'm like, is this a stitch up? But yeah, it was a great moment. So within a couple of days, I had to cancel my plans to fly to Spain that day. I was going off to Spain with Gary Kelly and Corey Wedlock to enjoy a few cocktails and a bit of sunshine. So I pushed that trip back a day and got to go into Birmingham during the day, do the rehearsals and get up there that night at the closing ceremony on behalf of the whole team of Australia. That was pretty cool, not just the bowls. It was sad that the lawn bowlers had to go home. We didn't do either ceremonies due to COVID. Yeah. But, yeah, got up there, received the flag, handed it over and didn't drop it. Some people said, drop it. Drop it, make a name for yourself that way. I'm like, no, no, no. I'm going to hold on to this flag, make sure I don't drop it and do a good job of it. And so handed the flag over and Jason Banks plays a song called Unknown. It's on YouTube. It's a really cool clip and really emotional sort of clip, and that was my sort of pinch myself moment to say, wow, you know, wonder if mum and dad are sort of there supporting me for this one, looking down. And but it was just that moment for me to say, all right, it's not a color of a medal, it's not a selection thing, it's just a moment to say, all right, this one's for bowls, this one's for anyone and everyone that's supported me to get me to where I am. And yeah, that was a pretty cool, yeah, millions of people watching on TV, and mm-hmm. I just still sort of can't believe I was given that honour. So, yeah, that was unbelievable. And, yeah, that was sort of within a few days of that, started to make me think, wait a minute, was that my swan song to sort of maybe finish up playing for Australia at that level?
Well, speaking of the 2022 Birmingham Games, you got silver in the triples, mate, with Carl Healy and Ben Twist. Obviously, a couple of very good mates of yours. What was that experience like? You know, obviously, a different country. You're in a very small, tight-knit team. And obviously, the team itself had pretty good success. But then you and Carl and Benny had some success personally as well.
Yeah, medalling wasn't a really big thing for Australia at the Commonwealth Games, World Championships, you know, to go over to Northern Hemisphere and medal. And we ended up, you know, being a very successful team. And, yeah, unfortunately, we didn't get through with the fours, but to be able to medal in the triples was great. And, yeah, it was just to be able to share in that experience with Ben and Carl in their first Comm Games. And yeah, we were so close, came down the last end. We had great support from the local crowds too. I couldn't believe, like, just after the game, a lot of the local English supporters coming up, well played. We knew you'd always come back because we were down, I think, 12-3 or something like that. And, yeah, I was in a sort of a mind bubble that game. I remember just concentrating so much on my game and supporting my teammates that the score, I swear on my entire life, I really didn't know the score. Mm-hmm. If someone had told me it was 10-3 or 8-1, I really was not focused on that. And we were pushed right up against which is a huge pet hate of mine, when there's a green pretty much for free. you know, I've played in some big finals, and unfortunately, majority of them have been for TV, not for the players. And to be played hard up against a ditch rink under the grandstand,
under a tree,
when like three or four rinks are just spare, it's a bugbear of mine. But yeah, that was what it is. So I'm just trying to win the conditions, try to win the environment. We were getting really good support from the local English crowd and the Australian contingent. And yeah, didn't quite get the medal we're after. But, you know, there's so many wins along the way. Getting the results to get in the mix to be selected for a games, then when you get your name called out, you know, that's a title in itself. I just can't believe I did manage to make three Comm Games, and to do them as a specialist lead. It wasn't sort of, you know, we're going to hide you there or we're going to move you around there. It was like, no, Barry's been able to be a specialist lead for a long time, and to do it Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, quick and slow green. So that's what I take away from the Commonwealth Games experience. But and then to be there when Alan and Christina and Aaron got their golds, and and same thing with Aaron Wilson and Alan, and that's just knowing them since their junior days, watching them grow as people and as athletes, and to sort of be there and say that I was there when they reached the ultimate glory. So, I will just sort of quickly say, I remember in 2018 when I did win, just lost a final there. And I remember I went back to my room, sort of had the cry, had the emotion. And I remember just sort of having a chat with Aaron Sheriff, and he sat in the room with me, sort of sat with me on the end of the bed kind of stuff. And he said, mate, I know it's tough. I know it's hard and it's heartbreaking. But he said, we've got some teammates downstairs that are celebrating gold medals. Let's go and celebrate it with them. A lot of people won't know the leadership qualities of Aaron Sheriff away from what you see on the green and all that, but definitely a huge strength of Aaron's and the high performance team. And I just remember that always now moving forward, it's always more important than just what you're going through. Someone else is going through something as well. And I was lucky enough to be able to go and take in the celebrations of other achievers in our Australian team, and that's the tight-knit family, which is the Jackaroos environment. And I thought, you know what? No, I'm going to go and celebrate my silver and celebrate their golds and even celebrate other achievements that didn't necessarily result in a medal.
Fantastic. Now, just talking about Birmingham and, you know, the Jackaroo squad there, is it right, and please correct me if I'm wrong, did you guys prepare at Mount Lewis and they prepared the green slower for you guys for the conditions? And if that was the case, is that the first time that you sort of had that opportunity to sort of replicate a little bit of those conditions?
So it was Mount Tambourine. You're right. No, it was Mount Tambourine, just up here on the Gold Coast, sort of 40 minutes inland. The greenkeeper there and the club were very, very obliging. They put one green aside, made it super slow to the point where you probably won't play on a slower green than that. But I mean, I think for the mental challenge, the physical challenge, and the ability to do what Karen Murphy says a lot, and that's to be comfortable when you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So I think being able to adapt to a super slow green was really good training. Yes, we did. Maribyrnong Park leading into Glasgow Comm Games. We picked a 7-man team to go to Glasgow and Wales in 2013. And I was lucky enough to have that green not far from where I was. So I trained there two or three nights a week and got picked for that tour. But yeah, it's something we've done a fair bit in the past. I know I've done it for other trips overseas, but whether it be a slow tennis court or a croquet green, but yeah, Mount Tambourine were fantastic. We had a Trans Tasman there.
Yes,
we did a lot of prep there. We had camps there, and it was great. And we went over to Birmingham 2 months out from the Comm Games, had our trials, and we got to Birmingham. We got off the plane, and the pilot said, "Sorry, there's no bags on this plane due to weight restriction and dodging the Ukraine and." Russian sort of war, and the pilot said we didn't have enough weight allowance, so we had 5 days without bowls, and I used some size one old school Drake's bowls out of a garden shed to trial for the Comm Games. So that trials didn't quite go to hand, but as soon as my right equipment turned up, we were good to go. And I remember I spent about a half a day throwing jacks into a bucket, just prepping for, rolling a jack at a certain length and so on. And Birmingham was a certain beast. But, yeah, we were up to it because the prep was really, really great. The high-performance team and all the Jackaroos staff put a great program together to sort of set us up for that. And it was great to see us do well over there.
It's about the only thing you couldn't have predicted. Like you said, Karen Murphy saying, be comfortable in the uncomfortable. That's as uncomfortable as it gets, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's called emotional regulation. I've sort of through my business and through my training. Yeah, when something sort of hits you that's sort of not normal, how you regulate that from an emotional perspective. You know, when you take that mark and the siren goes, wow, it's just dawned on me, I've got to kick a ball to win the game here after the siren. So emotional regulation, how you deal with it. And yeah, we knew that we couldn't turn up to Birmingham and go, wow, the greens are slow. Wow, it's cold. Wow, it's raining. Wow, it's windy. Whatever. No, we were definitely well-trained and well-put to accept those conditions.
All right, mate, we'll move on from the Commonwealth Games. Obviously, you were in Melbourne, playing in Melbourne. When did you make the move up to Queensland, and was it to Burleigh Heads?
Yeah, so I did something that no one else had done before, but I was willing to do it, and that was after I played in the first Australian Open in 2015 on the Gold Coast. That's when it moved up there. Had a bit of success, got sort of deep in a few disciplines. I thought, well, I need to maybe play on the Gold Coast more often. I need to play on the quicker greens instead of sort of having the winters off in Melbourne. And I joined the South Tweed Sharks and started playing winter pen at 6 a.m. flights, 6:25 p.m. flight home out of Gold Coast, getting home at midnight. So it was a full day up and back to the Gold Coast. No one else was doing it, but I was prepared to put in the time and effort, start playing winter pennant, winter greens, training. Sometimes I'd spend a weekend up here training. Started to become comfortable and really enjoyed the lifestyle. And then when I got picked for 2018 Comm Games, I was like, wow, living in the village up here for a month, sunshine. Just went, oh, I think I could twist the missus's wrist to maybe move up here. And out of nowhere, yeah, I was playing winter pennant. Got a phone call, job going at Burleigh Heads, bowls coordinator. Sort of took a few months to sort of sort that out, but yeah, got the bowls coordinator job. It was a new job for them, it was a new role for them. And yeah, I was really keen to make the world championship team, which is 2020 on the Gold Coast. So yeah, I thought, well, it lines in with trying to make the world championship team, and it's a career move, and it was a little club, and I wanted to help them sort of achieve big things, and yeah, took on the role bowls coordinator at Burleigh Heads in 2019 and became a Queenslander.
There you go.
And still there?
Yes. Still here, yeah. Yeah, I'm at Broadbeach Bowls Club now, so I've been at Broadbeach for about a year and a half, and had my 3.5 years at Burleigh Heads, and due to various reasons that didn't work out, but yep. It was got them a Premier League win, got them into Premier League, got them a win. You know, probably to this day, it's probably the biggest thing they've ever achieved, win the Premier League there. And so I'm glad I'm sort of part of their history in doing that. But moved over to Broadbeach, won the Premier League this year, and I get to sort of do a marketing and promotions role under the bowls coordinator at Broadbeach now, as well as sort of working for myself. So it's a really professional, transparent club with the board and the management, with the staff, and that's just such a professional setup, and really excited to be a part of the Broadbeach Bulls.
Broadbeach, obviously one of the hub, I suppose, clubs for the Australian Open. Obviously been up there and absolutely love Broadbeach. Some of the renovations that have happened over the last 12 months look pretty impressive. Can't wait to get back up there, mate, to see them.
Yeah, make sure you do, boys. Yeah, the outside decking and yeah, just the way we've jazzed the place up, really make it really environmentally friendly for the community. And we've got some new programs happening at the moment and things we want to plan for the new year. But our school holiday program last time around, I think in September, we had 50 kids with their parents, you know, sausage sizzles, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's great to be able to do a lot of community work and make sure we know that that's who we are first and foremost. And we've got our 70th birthday coming up soon. Yeah, it's just a great club to recognise where they've been, where they're going, and the general manager, Simon Neal, and the board are always trying to make sure that, yeah, they're front and centre when it comes to providing for the community. And I get to be a part of that now, their future, and they support me well, especially with my own business. I've got a role there where I only have to work 8 days a month, but they support me as an athlete, support me as an employee, and as well as someone that runs their own business.
Very good.
Absolutely wow. Fantastic. If anyone wants to, when you're up there for the Australian Open, or if you're up there in general, make sure you sign up for a membership for the Broadbeach Bulls. I'm actually a member there at the moment. It might be coming up to my 2-year lapse, but when you're there, obviously you get all sorts of benefits and you get information that gets sent to you all the time. So if you are heading up to Queensland, it's one place to certainly drop in and enjoy, as most people would probably already know that are watching our podcast or listening to the podcast. So absolutely, mate, it would be fantastic to catch up with you there. Let's move on a little bit. Obviously, you've moved over to Broadbeach. You've mentioned there that you do have your own business, and the Blessed Bowls, is that, have I got that right?
Yeah, well, it's my brand name is Blessed. So it's Bowls Leadership, Excellence, Skills and Training. I put that together quite a while ago. Mm-hmm. I always did want to sort of work, have my own business in bowls. I had to put it aside for a while to I sort of gain new experiences and learn new things and did some training. And now I'm in a position which was pretty scary at the time to be able to go out on your own and run your own business. But I've clocked up a lot of kilometres. I've coached in a lot of parts of Queensland, New South Wales, Tassie, South Australia. I come over to South Australia every year. Mm-hmm. I love golf. I love the best thing about golf, the live golf. I love the team aspect. So I'm a GC Ripper fan. I've got a man crush on Cameron Smith.
I think most people do. You're not alone there.
And I just love everything about him, just a laid-back Aussie. And so, yeah, I love getting over South Australia. I love Adelaide. I've got my brother and sister that were born there, so there's some nostalgia there. I've got some family ties there. I've loved coming over to the Masters over the years. So, yeah, got my own business, bowls coaching. Plus I help clubs with development, you know, if they want help with any social media, websites, even just business plans and stuff. So I can definitely help clubs with that. That's sort of my wheelhouse, having done a lot of that with Clubland over the years, working with Bowls Australia, but for mainly just doing the coaching clinics, upskilling bowlers with their techniques, their education around the game, training programs for clubs, goal setting, all that. And absolutely love it. I just love even like within a few hours of meeting people, just maybe just something in their technique or something, the way they're approaching their game, just seeing the improvement firsthand and staying involved with the clubs moving forward, just with their pennant, with their goal setting, all that. So I love it. Absolutely. Yeah. Get a kick out of that and get to travel. I'm off to New Zealand on Sunday, coaching over there, going to a conference. I was invited to do a talk at Bowls New Zealand's coaching conference, and looking forward to that opportunity. And to be able to do something I love in a sport I love and meet people and help them out. Yeah, I'm blessed to be able to do it.
Boom, boom. No tagline needed right there. Absolutely. Phil, you might have to book in a session, mate.
Oh, I think I have to.
You have to now, don't you?
Broad Beach, here I come.
And it's a good holiday up there, mate, as well.
Mates rates, Phil.
Okay, one-on-one I need with you, Barry.
Well, you're going to need a lot of hours, mate, I can tell you right now. I've played with Phil and, you're going to need a lot of hours. You're coming to Adelaide from the 9th of February. You've got a couple of clubs booked in, but if anyone else is keen to do so, to get in contact with you via the website?
Yeah, jump on my website. Yeah, fly over on Sunday the 9th and just jump on barrylester.com.au. And yeah, I'd love to. No club too big or small, and they're 3-hour sessions. So I do a nice inside presentation, which I call a club playbook. And I just do a nice general presentation about all things bowls and club behaviours, roles, responsibilities, goal setting and all that. And then we do a really extensive circuit training, skills and drills out on the green. And yeah, I always stop for a bit of Q&A and a refreshment or a sausage sizzle or something afterwards. And I love being able to do that wherever I go. And I'll be honest, as much as I've travelled the last 20 years playing, 20 years playing state bowls, going all around Australia, to be able to not necessarily do it with a bowl in my hand now and do a bit of coaching, I do stop and reflect on this beautiful country. Some of the bowls clubs you go to and the people you meet, it's unbelievable. And I do just go, wow, we've got a great sport and some amazing clubs. And I went to Mount Gambier a few months ago and I'd played there, one of my first ever state series back in about 2002. And I was just dripping in nostalgia and I was just like, wow, how good is this? I can't believe I've come back here 20 years later. And it was great to, and I love when they say, Barry, we don't get many people out this way. And, you know, we're sort of 4.5 hours from anything. And, and I just go, no, I'll travel anywhere and connect the best I can. So looking forward to coming back to Adelaide. That'll be the 9th through to the 14th.
Fantastic. Well, as I said, if anyone's keen to get on board, please contact Barry. I'm sure he'll be able to squeeze you in. And there's probably a couple of clubs that have already done that already. That's probably a couple I know of that would have doubled up and had you last year, probably have you back again this year. So looking forward to that. We might even try and catch up with you on green, mate, and do a little interview there as well.
For what you guys are doing for the sport, for sure. I'll definitely try to catch up with you, stay connected, and mate, I've got to fit in a little bit of time to watch. Look, I'll put some time aside for you for sure. But if Cam Smith's not ringing me up saying, Barry, will you caddy for me? I might be a bit busy. I'd love to play in the pro-am the day before the live starts. I tell you, my golf game's not quite good enough. But even if I'm like caddying or scraping bunkers or something at the pro-am, I'd love to get on the other side of the fence.
Absolutely. And the Grange Golf Club is an absolute ripper too, mate. So
the fairways are like carpet.
There. Yeah, it is. Yeah, you could almost roll a bowl on there without any problem, mate.
Absolutely you could.
Yep. Mate, let's have a little bit of fun to finish off today. We're going to obviously go through a couple of standard questions that we do with everyone. What bowls are you using?
It's got to be Aeros.
We knew it was Aeros. Which ones?
Yeah, so I joined Aero since day dot pretty much, 2012. So I've been with it for 12 years. Changed my game completely. So I'm mainly 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, I use Aero Optima. That's sort of that middle bias, anywhere between sort of 12, 13 up to 16, 17. And If you're playing on something super quick, I might go to a dynamic or turbo, or as I have done in the past when I've gone overseas, I've used a Revolution or an Aero Groove in the slow stuff.
Beautiful. Do you find changing bowls, and we'll get back to some of these questions in just a second, do you find changing bowls like that and changing some of your lines challenging at times, or is it something that you just know that that's the line I need to take and go from there?
Yeah, so I guess the easiest way to say it is BPL last year, or this year in February when we won it down at Moama, I literally pulled the bowls out of the box. Never ever rolled them in my life. Rolled with them on the Sunday and then used them on the Monday and won the BPL with them that week. The reason why some people will say that's a risk or it's a gamble. The reason I have the ability to do that is because I know under the Sydney Harbour Bridge trajectory,
yes,
I just have to find the widest spot. So I'm a bank bowler. I just find the widest spot and the bowls do the rest. So I've done that all around the world, from Wales, Scotland, Birmingham, South Africa, Hong Kong. I've been able to just grab a brand new box, set of bowls out of the box. So that's why I love the equipment. And, I change bowls a fair bit, and literally I'm definitely not bragging here. I've won probably half a dozen tournaments using a brand new set of bowls.
There you go. That's a nice, interesting little fact there. You sort of led me into it very nicely. Before we get onto a couple of the fun questions to finish this off, was BPL. We actually haven't covered that. Obviously, the BPL format, a little bit different to what you normally do. It's a little bit faster, a little bit more intense, and very tactical. What are your thoughts on that innovation for not only Bowls Australia, but I'm assuming that they're looking to take this a little bit more worldwide now?
Yes. I believe whether it's a product, whether it's sporting equipment, whatever it may be, I think you've got to market your number one product. And I think BPL now, the format being very exciting, the two sets, the power plays and the tie breaks, it's always edgiest seat kind of stuff, which you would have saw last week. I think that is our number one marketable brand. Mm-hmm. So I think wherever we can put bowls on a high pedestal, whether it be Commonwealth Games, World Championships, any kind of world series, I think that's where we put our BPL style event. Trust me, I'm a traditionalist. I love 25 up singles. I love, you know, replaying dead ends. I love all that. I think, but when we're crying out across the sport and the country to try and put bowls on the map, we have to put bowls on the map to what the consumer wants. And I think that's what we do with Jack Attack, Night Owls. It's the quicker format. It's the exciting format. And I'm really excited to see where the sport takes BPL and those kind of formats in terms of potentially at World Championships, Commonwealth Games, and any other events. So, we've built a great brand and a great product, BPL, and who knows where it could go. So, I'll back it all the way.
I love watching it. I've got it all taped on Fox, and I watch it back over and over and over during the winter months. And it's just a great format, and it's quick. You know, it's entertaining, and that's what people want. Plenty of beer in the background, and, you know, cheering and music, and it's a way to go, isn't it? Certainly the format we need.
Well, I've got a question for you, gents. How's that? All right. So
far away. I like this.
There you go. Is this a first? Is this a first?
Yeah,
so imagine someone waved their magic wand and said, guess what, Commonwealth Games, lawn bowls has never, ever been in it. But lawn bowls have just been granted that one wish that it's going to be in the Commonwealth Games.
Commonwealth
Wouldn't
or
you
Olympic?
Probably?
Olympics.
Commonwealth? Olympics? Commonwealth?
Commonwealth, yep.
Yep. To showcase lawn bowls and the excitement of the game and the colour of the game and the youth of the game, what event would you want to give the world from a Commonwealth Games perspective to showcase bowls? And that's the question we as a bowl society probably need to answer. So I'm keen to know what you guys would say.
I'm keen for the BPL format. If it remains the same, as in I don't think there's too much to tinker with.
I agree. I'm with that. It's exciting, fast, over in hour and a bit or whatever. And yeah, it's the way to go, I think. Yep.
There you go. There you go, boys. I don't have a yes or no. I didn't need an answer, yes or no, from you, but I'm happy either way, trust me. But I think I do like to promote the game the best I can, and I think the world needs to see bowls for what fun it is, and and the colour and the vibrancy and the noise and the music and all that. So I think the more of that, the better.
I think, I mean, certainly we use cricket as the standard, I suppose, of looking at test match versus one dayers versus T20s. You know, I'd say that your test match is probably a bit more for your serious bowler playing Premier League Division One potentially. Your sort of middle range player, you know, is very social, that maybe want reduced ends or something sort of modified slightly. But we have to build from the base up. And if we can get players playing in this sort of T20 style format early, they then have options to go to that next level or the level above. That's just how I view it anyway.
Well said. You're right, Pete. And what the Big Bash League does is it promotes cricket to the uninitiated. So they see the colour, the fire, the big sixes, the big hitting, and you might not be a cricketer, but you see that and you go, all right, it's worth watching. And that's our biggest task for lawn bowls worldwide. We need to promote bowls with something that grabs the attention of the uninitiated.
The other option that we had, and I did mention this a couple of weeks ago as part of our podcast there, was potentially bringing in like a bit of a split times format, considering we have people that are a little bit time poor at the moment, but, you know, don't mind playing the night hours, but could potentially play on a Saturday for a club, where we do have a bit of a half-time break at about the 2:15 mark where the bell rings. That is a bit of a marker that we could potentially have one lot of players coming in and another lot of players going out, and that social aspect could help grow the base of some clubs. I'd be interested to know what your thoughts might be on that.
Yeah, I'm okay with that, and I know with the whole State of Origin when it comes to AFL, I'm sure your AFL lovers, being from where you are, and I still can't see how they can't do some kind of mid-season hybrid 20-minute game over a week, you know, 4-day weekend State of Origin series. I'm so bemused. But anyway, yeah, for sure, if you need to split games or break them up throughout the year, we're very lucky here in Queensland. We have 6 weeks of pennant July, August, and we have 8 weeks of Premier League February, March. And, you know, we're not tied down to a 2022 consecutive week season. Don't get me wrong, we'd probably play somewhere around maybe the 16 weekends of sort of committed tournaments,
yep,
but they're not on top of each other. They're broken up.
I think that's where we're in that state of flux, I suppose, at the moment. There's a group of players that are keen to play more tournaments and support more clubs and maybe reduce the pennant season or double headers somewhere along the way there, just to reduce the number of weeks. But that's going to take a little bit of changing at the moment and a bit of forward planning. But yeah, it's always good to have think tanks with these ideas, and we know that the BPL format and the BPL Cup as well, which is obviously available to most clubs, is a stepping stone to letting that happen.
Yeah, well said. Well said. And you guys are, you know, you're doing a great job to help that from a promotion point of view, just talking the game, showcasing the sport. Well done.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. I don't need to ask you what your favourite part of the sport is, because I think we've pretty much all covered there. Mate, what other things would you do to improve the game if you could? I mean, obviously, we've just talked about formats there, but is there anything else that you can sort of think of that could help improve the game?
Probably a dream come true for me, and unfortunately requires a fair bit of finances. But, you know, I've always said that lawn bowls is a $1 billion industry. Once again, I'm in the coalface everywhere I go. You got huge clubs with massive turnover, and if we could somehow create a investor group or a conglomerate that said we're all willing to chip in to help promote the game, I'd love to see some form of portable rink that provides what is the best thing in sport, in any sport pretty much, and that is elite exposure. And elite exposure is what we saw at Murray Downs last week. We saw Cameron Smith and Lucas Herbert, two worldwide massive names in the sport of golf, go to a country club in the middle of nowhere up on the border and probably influence maybe a couple of hundred people to take up golf. It's not a portable golf rink, but those two stars going out to a country club like that. So to be able to have some form of portable rink where we put it at Bondi Beach, we put it in casinos, to be able to take the game to the people, I've said that for forever. And, you know, we can put table tennis tables in auditoriums. They put a great portable rink in Potter's over there at Potter's Leisure Resort. I've been there a few times. It's not a bowls club. It's literally an auditorium. But, yeah, if we could grab a portable rink and say, hey, we're going to have a chat to Star Casino chain and say, how do we get them in there? Yep. How do we get bowls to the people and showcase elite exposure would be fantastic. So that's always been a dream of mine, but I don't have probably I don't even want to put a budget on it.
No, fair enough. Mate, great idea. I like it. Absolutely love it. All right, mate, that's enough for the serious stuff. Let's have some fun here, mate. Childhood idol. Did you have a sort of an idol that you just went, I have to see this person play or go to their games and whatever chance you got to watch?
Well, two come to mind straight away. The first one being Greg Norman, Aussie battler, you know, didn't come from much, took up golf, willy nilly because his mum was a club champ, always a big fan of the Great White Shark, and to be world number one for 331 weeks across his career in arguably the hardest sport in the world, brilliant. And my favorite footballer, was Gary Ablett Sr. My whole family are Geelong supporters. I'm a Melbourne Demon. And we would go along and watch a lot of Geelong games down at Cadinia Park. And if you got to the gate and you found out Ablett was injured or not playing, 5, 10, 15,000 people wouldn't turn up. He's probably the biggest superstar the game's ever had. I think, you know, he's in a very, very small niche of players. And I got to see him firsthand many, many times. And his statistics speak for themselves. Three Norm Smiths in a row, kicking over 100 goals in a row. That's never been done before. And, I'm just totally in awe of what that guy did at 6'1".
Yeah, that's right.
And he, you know, left Hawthorn to head to Geelong as well.
Yeah, so he was a freak of nature, just a superior footballer, athlete, and he did things no athletes or footballers are really doing this day and age, especially left and right foot. You're seeing these kids get drafted through now and unfortunately not having much on their opposite sides. And Gary Ablett from 50 out on the run, opposite foot wasn't even an issue.
Yep. Mate, speaking of other sporting teams, you said you're a Melbourne supporter. You'd have been pretty happy a couple of years ago with them winning the premiership, but any other sports that are tickling your fancy? You have mentioned golf a couple of times and I know that you love getting over here for the Live Golf, but Ripper GC obviously pretty handy there. But any other sporting teams you follow?
Yeah, the one and only Chelsea, good Pride man. Of London.
Good man.
I'm not a bandwagon supporter. I literally went and saw them play 14 years ago at Stamford Bridge or whatever it was, and just fell in love with the culture, fell in love with the enthusiasm, all the fans, how the fanatic they are. And I've been to the MCG well over 50 times, and I've been there probably a dozen times, 100,000 people in the house. And when you go to an English Premier League game with 40 or 50,000 screaming fans, the chanting, the cheering, it just can't be replicated. And Chelsea do it for me. They're my favourite football team in the world. And I'm right across most movements, the players' names. Our draw, you know, we're playing in the UEFA at the moment. We're not in the Champions League, but we won that a couple of years. So, yeah, mad blue. And, bring on, I think it's Leicester on Saturday night.
Yep, currently sitting third on the Premiership table behind Liverpool and Man City. So a little bit of work to be done there, but they've put themselves in a pretty good spot this year. The last couple of years have been a little bit lean, but looks like they're on their way back, mate.
Cole Palmer.
There you go. Mate, let's finish off. Favourite pre-match meal?
Pre-match meal? Oh, yeah, I've always been sort of just right and some bananas. And, yeah, I'm a big sort of tuna guy or sardines on toast or something. So, yeah, get your concentration foods up.
Absolutely. Mate, favourite movie?
Braveheart. Even though I lost two gold medals to Scotland in 2018 Com Games, back to back, I still love Scotland.
Yes.
But Braveheart, sure
Alex Marshall won't hold it against you.
No, I love the Scottish and Irish culture and countryside and absolutely love a good Guinness. And Braveheart, what a movie.
Absolutely. Favourite pre-match song to get you pumped up and ready to go, or are you a bit more sort of subdued and something a little bit downbeat?
No, I love my up and about beats. You know, it'd be probably something if it was a big game where I'm really trying to get pumped. It'd have to be something along the lines of Eminem or Drake or sort of that sort of gangster rappy kind of stuff. But I'm very versatile with my music. I grew up listening to old school tunes with my dad. So I was listening to Neil Diamond today in the car. So there you go.
Yeah, that's more my talk.
Yes.
I was going to say, Phil, you're going to need to Google half those names that Barry just
throw over, mate. Yeah, Kentucky Woman, Neil Diamond. That's it. You know, I can go from 60s Roy Orbison to modern day stuff. I love my music. My dad was a professional musician teacher, so I was very, very lucky to be brought up with quality old school music.
Mate, you've got two last questions and then we'll get you out of here, and thank you very much for your time tonight. First one is, what is the one coaching tip that you could give most people that'll help improve their game? In other words, I'm looking at Phil here at the moment. What's the one tip that you might be able to give that we can pass on to our listeners?
Yeah, and I don't want to come across scientific, but you've got to understand the biomechanics of lawn bowls, the body movement, the activity of actually having your touch, your tempo, your body movement, you've got to have everything working together, and that is biomechanics. And in short, if you look at golf, very highly technically biomechanical sport, the world's best players right now are always looking to get on top of their biomechanics, from what their hips are doing, what their knees are doing, their shoulders, their wrists, their hands, and bowls is no different. And you've got to understand that the speed of your hand, you've got to understand what kind of body movement, what kind of load is being forced forward. You've really got to understand that. And the more you understand what your body should be doing right throughout the technique, it'll definitely fast track your development.
Mate, you have one of the smoothest deliveries going around, so I'm sure you've spent plenty of time on that. Is it true? A little bit of fun here, bit of trivia here. Have you spent time in front of the mirror watching your own delivery as part of that biomechanics?
Yeah, so I used to be only a pendulum bowler up until 2008. I'd stay static, so I wouldn't leave the mat. And I went to Malaysia and learned how to play on slow greens with the coaches at the time then. And they said, Barry, you can't bring your Victorian pendulum delivery over here on 9-second greens in Kuala Lumpur. So I learned to hold my step, stand taller, and create timing where I'd press forward and have my body leave the mat. And I look at other really good slow green players and in Mark Casey and Nathan Rice and, you know, the players I was playing around with back then around that time, they were always sort of pushing forward, moving forward. So I always think of my delivery and other people. I think it's probably another good little tip is just a skateboard ramp. As you're going down, you need to be moving forward and then stay down at release and then come up. So finish the skateboard ramp. And, yeah, so it's a downward forward movement. And, yeah, so I became a bodyweight bowler in 2008, 2009. I went over to Hong Kong in 2012, won two gold medals, won the singles, won the pairs, became the first Australian to do that. And that was off the back of really learning how to have a forward bodyweight delivery. And I've been a bodyweight bowler since.
There you go, I watched Phil. That one today, actually, on one of your videos. Yeah, it's one of the ones I watched today. So, There we go. I better put that into play tomorrow night.
I was about
night.
To say, mate, you've got the perfect tip to go tomorrow night. Mate, the last question to get you out of here on this one, and it's the most fun one that we ask all of our guests. If there's a movie made about you, who is playing you and what movie might it be?
Yeah, so it's Crackerjack 2.
Love it.
I've been waiting for 20 years. I've been waiting for Crackerjack 2 to come out. I even rang Malloy. What's his name? Malloy?
Mick Malloy?
His name's escaped me. Yeah, Mick Malloy. I even rang his management once and I wrote a sort of a one or two page rough sort of script once. So I'd love to see Crackerjack 2 go ahead. And as there's a few young stars coming through, and yeah, maybe I'd sort of take on a role in the movie as a, you know, an old cranky retired coach supporting either a superstar or superstar team.
Yep.
And while we're on the subject of it, why not Nathan Black play my role?
Love it. There you go. We'll have to pass that on to Blackie. Mate, that is fantastic. I think we've got to get this to happen somehow, some way. Maybe we've got to lobby it or a, what is it?
Crackerjack 2.
We've got to lobby one of those GoFundMe pages and see if we can get it going and get Mick on board there. But that'd be absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mate.
Even a preview, you know, they're doing movies now.
Yeah, go for it, mate.
I was just saying, they do movies now. They do previews instead of, Crackerjack 2 or 3. So maybe we can go back before Crackerjack and when Mick was a young kid or something. Who knows? But, it's one of those things. Yeah, it was a big thing when it happened. Crackerjack was great. It's been great for the sport ever since. But, let's campaign to make number 2 happen.
I like it. Absolutely. Mate, we better let you go. You've probably given us a little more of your time than we thought we were going to have tonight. And we've sort of covered a lot of stuff, obviously, with your early career, but now with your role at the Broadbeach Bowls Club and also your blessed coaching program there. We will shout out again if anyone's looking to, book you in during that time you're here in Adelaide. Please do so. Contact Barry and we look forward to seeing you in Adelaide, mate, not only for the golf but also for the bowls.
Yeah, thanks, Pete. Thanks, Phil. I'd love to get to know you guys better and really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much and good job.
Not a problem.
Cheers, mate. Thanks, Barry.
Thank you, mate.
You're listening to the Drive to Draw podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.